Good afternoon, everybody. Or do I say good evening now? Afternoon, yeah, it doesn't feel so dark, does it? Welcome to our carol service, and the service will proceed as per the order that you have. So if you have a reading or anything else, just come up. I won't announce you. And if you have a reading, just continue with the reading because the detail is on the order of service. And let's come together and have a blessed time as we look forward to celebrating again the birth of our Saviour Jesus Christ. A few words. God comes to us. Let us prepare ourselves for the good news from God, from the one who never fails us. God has promised us a Saviour to guide us and to bring us grace to live in holiness. The Saviour will be born of a virgin chosen of God. From a small town, he will bring light for the whole world. Emmanuel, he is God with us. His name shall be above all names. In his name, we will be saved, and the world will find peace and justice at last. Let us gather together to welcome him, to give him praise, to rejoice with him, and to offer ourselves as servants in the kingdom of God. Let all people on earth shall hear the good news.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For in the days of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rods of their oppressors. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
With sorrow brought thy sin and strife, in a world that's sorrow. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said,
"Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you."
Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her,
"Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give you the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end."
"How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered,
"The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who has said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail."
"I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you that we can come into your house this year to worship you this Christmas. As we see the Christmas lights, we think about the first Christmas when your son was born in that draughty stable, the gift of love for the whole world. We remember how Mary obeyed your plan to travel many miles to Bethlehem and gave birth on a cold earthen floor with only an animal's manger to put her baby in. Lord, we pray for our government as they try to find a way through the continual problems of COVID. For all the medical professionals that work so hard to keep us safe at this time. Help us to be mindful of those people that have lost so much, that we do not become complacent in our attitude to this crisis. Help us, Lord, as we spend time in prayer. Enlighten our hearts so that we can be a group of people ready to serve you in all you ask us to do. We pray for those people that we know that are not well, those that would have loved to be with us this evening. Be with them right now. As we offer our prayers to you, touch them with your love and your healing. We pray for those who face the first Christmas without loved ones. Lord, we ask you to come alongside them, that they will feel your presence in such a real way. We pray for all those people caught up in war or natural disasters and famine, for all those aid workers that work tirelessly to provide just the basics of shelter, food and water. We pray for our brothers and sisters that are not able to worship freely like us, for the persecution they suffer. We pray that they will feel your love and peace this Christmas time. Lord, we pray that as we sing these carols, the words that are familiar to us, that you will help us to uncover the real message of Christmas. As we hear those Bible readings that are so important to us each Christmas, let us open our hearts that we will hear the message you have for us today. We thank you, Jesus, that you came into our world to show your Father's love to each one of us. Amen.
This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had a mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she had given birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Birth of Jesus Christ. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he could belong to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to the God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they'd been told.
This poem is called The Gift, and it's by Mariam Karagounis. The gift was wrapped in swaddling clothes and in a manger laid, a helpless baby lying there, the love of God portrayed. The world was dark and quiet, but the angels couldn't keep their silence any longer as they watched the nation sleep. They broke the sky with glory light. Their praises rang out clear. They told the watchful shepherds, "Look, the gift of God is here. You'll find him in a manger, and one day he'll grow to be the Saviour you've been waiting for. The Lord and Christ is he." The gift was nailed upon a tree, and on his bleeding head, the emblem of his kingship was a crown of thorns stained red. No sound from angel witnesses as men roared out their scorn. They knew the Saviour's time had come, the reason he'd been born. The gift of God was life for men, but first that life must die. And Christmas merged with Easter as the cross was lifted high.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country in another route.
In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light, the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son.
Thank you.
think just being together to sing at our carol service fills my heart. I don't know about yours, when we think that it's been a couple of years. You may be surprised to hear, or maybe even relieved to know, that I'm not a qualified cardiologist. But I am qualified and in the service of our Father God, who is big into the business of the heart, particularly changing them. Our hearts are interesting, aren't they? Have you thought about it? I hope so. And they are quite fundamental to our well-being. Just check the person next to you, will you? Sorry, Liz, still going. I shared with our friends at Hughenden and Hanover Courts that our heart is where we hold what we believe, which affects our choices, our passions, our emotions. Our hearts reveal our motives and our intentions. What the experts once believed to be generated by the brain alone, research has proven that the emotions have as much to do with the heart as they do with the brain. Did some of you watch Strictly last night? Wouldn't be a carol service without me mentioning it. Or even over the weeks that it's been on. I don't know about you, but it's been quite an emotional roller coaster. I don't know if it's just my age or the COVID. But yesterday I found myself smiling and then sobbing and then smiling again, especially at the end. And there's no spoilers about to come out of my mouth. But as each one of them spoke about their experience, their sentences included something like, "There will always be a special place in my heart for you, no matter how busy we are." Do you hear that? Yeah. It just kept coming out, didn't it? Oh, it's particularly last night. As we struggle in fear and uncertainty through this COVID experience together, I said during the lockdowns that I hoped that the kindness, compassion, and support for our neighbours would continue. But sadly, it's obvious that in the most part, it went back to business as usual. What fills our hearts? What makes them sing? Doesn't singing fill our hearts with joy? Feeling joyful? Can I remember your eyes are talking to me? And you're nodding heads, that's good. Not just carols, although there's something special about them, isn't there? But many songs make our hearts sing. But thinking about the emotions that we have in our hearts, love fills our hearts, but so can sadness. Anger can burst out of them, show their true condition. Loneliness can make them heavy. How have we prepared our hearts this Advent? There's still time. Do we let Jesus be the centre of what we believe at Christmas time? And do we let that change our hearts and therefore our lives? Christmas is a busy time for many families. Shopping, Christmas concerts, parties, festive meals, more shopping, family obligations, the list goes on. And then before we know it, Christmas Day has come and gone. And we may feel that we've missed out on something important. We have forgotten some significant detail. We overlooked the essential step of preparing our hearts for celebrating the birth of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Some of our carols invite us to come and worship. True worship springs from the heart. It flows out of our walk, our communion with God. It is a posture of the heart, and it totally envelops the heart of God. It's a lifestyle choice. Of course, as we've just had the readings and we've sung carols, we can't literally visit Jesus in the manger, but we can come to Bethlehem in a sense, because our readings and our songs and carols invite us back to Bethlehem, to put ourselves in the places of those that we've read and sung about, learning from their faith, their worship, their responses, as their hearts, so filled with joy, cause some to burst into song, others to share the good news of Jesus because they literally couldn't help it. We can come in our imaginations as we allow the Christmas story to inspire us again. We can come as we reflect on the miracle of Jesus, Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. And we can come in worship, adoring Christ, once born lying in a wooden manger, once living on earth as a sign of God's kingdom, once dying on a wooden cross for our salvation, once raised from the dead at Easter, now reigning in heaven, welcoming us into his presence, ready to come again and complete his work of establishing God's kingdom on earth, reconciling his people to himself. The light of the world has come. There shines the infant light, our closing carol tells us. Can you see it? Do you know it? Can you feel it? He pours his light into all the dark places, our dark places, because he is in the business of changing hearts. Like the shepherds who came to Bethlehem in haste to see the tiny babe, how often have I come to Jesus in haste? I'd say probably sometimes not often enough, and sadly, not even in haste. And like Mary, to ponder, to hide things within her heart. Can you imagine, as she looked back across her life with Jesus, seeing what had happened, how she would have gone back to all the events, to all the things that were said to her, and pondered them? Do you know what it's like to ponder? It's only when you ponder that you actually really draw out, don't you, the real meaning of what's happened. What a sight there must have been to consider. So this Christmas, I hope, along with me, take the time to reflect on what it is to come and worship him. I want to be intentional about coming to him for rest and refilling. This is my heart's desire. This is where my heart finds peace. May the miracle of Christmas fill our hearts with peace, hope, joy, and love. It isn't just an event. It's an encounter with a person. Jesus Christ, God with skin on. What does our worship look like? Can it be sustained after? With God's help, nothing is impossible. How are you planning on worshiping him this Christmas? Pray, plan, and prepare your hearts. I'm going to have that quiet time of rest and reflection after next Saturday with my Saviour, because I know that if I don't plan for it, then it won't happen. Mother Teresa said, "At this Christmas, when Christ comes, will he find a warm heart? Mark the season of Advent by loving and serving humanity with God's own love and concern. He will meet us where we are. if we are open to receiving and serving him. As we've just sung, what I can I give him, give my heart. He is Emmanuel, God with us, now, today, and always. Amen. So let's come and worship as we sing number 35. Thank you. Let's pray. Thank you for your message which the angels brought. Help us to hear it clearly today as the shepherds heard it then. Help us to find Jesus in our hearts as they found him in Bethlehem. Help us to worship him honestly, simply and humbly as they did. Not just over this Christmas season, but for all of our lives until he comes again in glory. Amen. Planned refreshments, please go through to the schoolroom. Otherwise, I'll have to eat them all.